We are grateful for the opportunity to always seek God and to offer our souls, spirit, and our life for God's presence to continuously dwell with us, abide with us, and guide our ways, that we may live a full and joyous life. So in that spirit, I invite each and every one of you to ask whatever questions that may have arise in your consciousness, whether by the spiritual path or by other things that might be meaningful to you, that allows you to tap into the wisdom of God, that others might also benefit from those questions and the response. May the indwelling spirit honor us, this wisdom, and bless, and give us that understanding. So, any of you with a question can now ask. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I know we asked this in the past, but I wonder if the Spirit has more suggestion for the news that we are hearing. Like today, we had a shooting at the Catholic church, school. Without judging, what is the best way to approach it? And I know we need to send love and peace to all of the people, but what is the best way or balanced way for each individual, us, to grow from this and understand it better, and not to judge or condemn anyone in this situation?
Well, the question is, based on what is happening in our environment, every day we hear about shooting and things that are happening that agitates our mind, because these are horrendous things. This is not what we would like our life to witness or to live in. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that we should have the understanding that nothing happens that is outside of God's knowing. All of these things are known will happen. So the first thing is to say, Lord, there's nothing wrong if you want to express how you feel at that moment, because that is also part of living the life of God.
So that's not judgment.
There's no judgment about it. If you do not focus on the particular individual, you focus on the situation and say, Lord, when will this come to an end? This is heavy on my mind. But then after you said that, and the Spirit may talk to you, but then you say, let your will prevail. Let your will, Lord, prevail. Let your love prevail. Not the misunderstanding or the ignorance of the human mind. Because it is in ignorance that these things happen. Because if we have clarity and the wisdom of God, you will not take a gun and shoot somebody, even somebody you don't know. Even if it's somebody you know, you will not harm them. So it is the ignorance that is attached to the soul of individuals that allows these things to happen. And so we ask God's will to prevail, that God's love will overcome that ignorance and transform the understanding and bring light so that the wisdom of God can be established, so that every nanosecond of our life, that wisdom and love is guiding us. If we say that, that's fine. And then we move on. We don't need to take it on. Because if God wants to use you to change it, you can count on it. It will come to you. But taking it on does not help you. Because it actually distorts your own movement. But it doesn't mean you can't have that compassion. You know, part of having compassion is also having, what's the other one for? Empathy. It means you feel what is going on. You are going with what is going on, but you are not the one who will resolve it. God is the one who will resolve it. And let us make it very clear that these things happening, even though they've prophesied it, is there in the ethers. You know, but they don't have to happen if the human consciousness changes. It is not God who makes this. It is because we don't get it. And so they know, okay, this particular soul is coming to the world based on their limited understanding. These are the things that will happen through this particular soul in conjunction with other souls, birds of the same feather flock together. Yeah. Because it is the collection of the human thoughts that forms the collectives that generates this. It instigates it.
Would you say that again?
It is the collection of the human thoughts that forms the collectives. Collectives are things when you come together, when there's a group. Yeah. So each of us, our thoughts may be separate. But if they have the same vibration of thoughts, even though coming from different, then they gather together, they attract themselves, and then they form a union, a collective. And the union is more powerful, and then they go in there and create all these things that we are not happy about. And then God's grace eventually takes charge of it. And we might think, Lord, this has been going on. Always remember, 1,000 years is like a split second in the sight of God. But it doesn't have to go on like that. That's why each of us individually, we owe it to ourselves to look what are our thoughts on a daily basis. It doesn't mean your thoughts won't go here and there. But when you pay attention, remember we say pay attention to attention. When you pay attention to where your thoughts are, you have the power to redeem those thoughts, to guide them in the direction they should. If you are thinking of, I'm going to slap this person. Remember, you are not the only one who's thinking of that at that moment. Other people are getting angry. I'm going to slap this one. He's not going to do my way. I'm going to, you know. But then you say, why do I want to slap that person? Just because they don't agree with me? Just because they have a different opinion? Just because they want to live their life? Do they deserve me coming to harm them in that way? No. Now you've directed your thoughts away. And then you may still not like what they do, but you say, Lord, may your blessings be upon them, and may you change me so that I live in the depot of your love so that I can see. You know what a depot is? That's where they have the goods, and you go there and collect what is yours. You know, they send them out. Yeah, that's the best way. And it doesn't mean you are judging. As long as you don't focus on that particular person, because that person may be the point of the arrow. They might not even be, you see, because all the energy has collected now. And they are using that person as the apex. Through that person, it has to come out. Somebody has to. So when we think about Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, you think he just did it on his own? Now think about all the priests that have been gathering that they're going to harm Jesus. All the ignorance of them. Yeah. So Judas just happened to have the energy of greed or whatever. And he's not the first one. In all of incarnation, there have been others over and over who've had the energy of greed, thieves and all of them. Some of them, they've become saints. So the energy is there. It's not like it is totally cleared off. It is in recess until somebody else go and tap it. You know. So it's so easy to blame Judas, you know, like, oh, look at what he did. But what are the other people who have been thinking about harming Jesus or about betraying their loved ones? So should we talk about Peter? Well, Peter also betrayed Jesus. Mm-hmm. People might say, well, in a different way. What is so different? Yeah, so those energies will always be there. But now they talk about Saint Peter. At that time, he wasn't a saint. I bet you, with time, Judas might become a saint too. Yeah. So by not focusing on that individual and thinking they are the evil of the evil, then you are not in a position of judgment. You are asking God to remove the evil. Beloved, do not let any evil be dispensed through me. It's a good affirmation to always say, Lord, I belong to you. My life, I've always been yours, I'm yours now, and I will be yours forever. Do not allow any evil to manifest through me, because I'm an incarnate of your light and wisdom. Just simple prayers like the affirmation, it keeps them away, so that when your thoughts are going in the other direction, then the light, the spark, the divine spark ignites, and it brings you back to where it's supposed to be, a place of balance. So, yeah, I think we beat ourselves up too much, like, oh, I'm judging this person. Well, if that's what you recognize, that there is that love of God in you that allows you to go through that emotion, like, Lord, this cannot be. This is not who you are. Help us. And no one can judge you about that. No karma can touch you with that, from my own understanding. Because if that love of God in you is not doing that spark for you to have that empathy, you won't. And it's actually a thing to celebrate. That means, well, there's still some good in us. That we can have that compassion, that empathy. That means that love that we're created with has not been extinguished. So, that's the way I have been told. You know, with time, as we evolve, you know, if we listen, if we learn to listen, you will see, Spirit will talk to each of us. It doesn't mean we compare notes, but it will talk to each of us, and don't dismiss it. Some things that you think, oh, this is what the Almighty has said, this is the way it should be, and Spirit tell you, no, that's not my way. That's human bringing it together because of limited understanding. Now I'm telling you this. Then hold on to that. Run with it. If it's good, it's always good. Then Jesus said, if people are calling, using his name to heal, you know, then they are not against us. Leave them alone. Didn't he say that? When the disciples said, Lord, these people who don't belong to us, they are using your name to heal. Say, well, they are not against us. So in other words, when you are thinking in a loving way, there's nothing wrong about that. You can go to God and say, Lord, my soul is heavy. I can't take this. Have mercy. Transform our lives. But I know you are the only one who can do it. And renew me without understanding that power to always surrender whatever is going on that I don't, to surrender it to you, because you have the capacity to take care of it. Not even the angels. Without God's capacity, the angels can do anything. And the angels, we should also be like the angels. They've learned to, like, okay, Lord, this thing is happening, but that will be done. Because without you, they won't happen. Yeah. And the masters know that. They're always appealing to God. Okay, have mercy. Yeah. And sometimes they know if God doesn't say no, then they can on their own, because they live in that presence, they can on their own help humanity. Yeah. Send energy of love so that a lot of souls are lifted, and then we start acting in a loving way. Yeah. And that's why it doesn't matter whether you're in the church or you're in the supermarket. Now you've seen it's been proven. You never know when the bullets will show up. Before they say, oh, you can't do this because it's a sacred place. Nothing is sacred anymore. Sometimes people are even afraid to go to church or a gathering because they never know what will come. And you think God didn't know that? You know, God knows that. There's a story about Vivekananda, a Hindu master, great master, who was so moved and said, Divine Mother, you know, got to do something. In other words, he didn't like that the Muslim, the Islamic raiders, let's put it that way, are destroying all the statues of the that belongs to Hindu goddesses and all of that. Just like in our lifetime, they did in Afghanistan when they blew all the Buddhist thing. And so he was irate, like, okay, got to do something and all of that. And Divine Mother says, is it you that they are destroying? You think I don't know that? You know, isn't it my image? So what has that got to do with you? Leave it alone. If I didn't want them to destroy it, they won't be able to destroy it. So leave it alone. So, yeah, and you have to leave it alone because the divine knows exactly what is happening. Maybe more people have embraced that image and forget that God is the one behind it. It would be like people saying, okay, we embrace Jesus, and they forget Jesus belongs to God, you know, and they don't even think beyond God. And then anyone that says anything against Jesus, oh, you can't do that, then they're going to want to kill that person. Yeah. So, but it's okay for us to, when that love that we're created with moves us, to express that, that heaviness, like, Lord, didn't Jesus weep when Lazarus died? Even though then the spirit said, oh, no, he's sleeping. But right there, yeah, you are in the physical body, you have that emotional thing. There's nothing wrong with it. Jesus is still Jesus, instead of when they say Jesus wept. It's the shortest in the Bible. He didn't take away who Jesus is. Didn't Moses appeal to God, say, Lord, don't destroy them. You know how they are. Yeah. Yeah, so.
I have a question. I wasn't searching for this, but I came across something online today that said that in the most common phrase, and I don't know if this is true or not, I didn't verify it, but it was interesting to me, that the most common phrase found in all scriptures, whether it is the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, the Bhagavad Gita, the Torah, different scriptures throughout time, the most common phrase is God's Spirit saying to us, do not be afraid, do not fear, do not be afraid. And I haven't read all of the scriptures, but I have read the Bible, and I thought, well, that I know it's true that in both the Old Testament, well, particularly in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, you know, Gabriel appears and says to Mary, do not be afraid, do not fear, do not be afraid. And it's said throughout many times. And as someone who's very familiar with fear, fear and I have been BFFs many times. But I've been thinking about that. thinking about what is that meaning that God comes through so often to us through prophets and different people with that message of do not be afraid. And maybe this is too much to ask for, but how does one not be afraid? I would just love to hear any thoughts about that.
To paraphrase that there's a common expression says, do not be afraid, that is in all scriptures. So how do we bring ourselves to not be afraid? Well, God willing, as we go towards coming to our retreat, there's something Spirit had said. So when you said that, I just like, okay, that's how validations comes. That we were going to share about what we call refrains, R-E-F-R-A-I-N-S, refrain, is in all spiritual paths. Whether it's natural path, Christian, refrain means things that you said and they repeat that. It's in all chants, in all prayer, you know. And fear is one of them. You see it in scriptures where there's, you know, God is with you. Thou shalt not fear. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Wanting is part of fear because you don't know. Look, I desire it, but it's not coming. And the best way to keep ourselves from not being afraid is to realize that you, any of us, the presence at that moment, that is God sustaining us. That is God's presence. We always think God is so far away, and God is always there. At every nanosecond, every movement, God is there with us. When you keep realizing that, it becomes your refrain. And then it becomes your reality that there is no movement. You can't move your hand without God's presence. So if God is there with you, so a snake shows up, yeah, your physical body will react. But then what happens? Oh, it's just a garden snake. It doesn't bite. You relax yourself. What was it we were talking about? That courage is not the absence of fear. But in spite of the fear, you still go on. You might not know how it will come out, but then you act. And then it favors you. What creates fear in all of humanity is the unrealized truth that God is present at all times, in all moments. Because once you know that, then there's nothing. Remember the story of Yogananda in Chicago at the park? It was getting dark, and this person was asking, okay, give me your money. he gave and all of that. And then the guy wants more. And then Yogananda has to yell at him. And the guy was frozen and ran away. And the police officer came and said, son, you might want to go somewhere because this park is not safe. He didn't argue with the police and say, I know, but because I know God is with me. Even when he went in the ocean in the Massachusetts, in the Boston area, in the cold to get himself in the, yeah, and Dr. Lewis were there, they saw the thing around him. Yeah, it doesn't mean that the cold water, the winter has changed. But he went there in spite, because he knows the power of the presence of God can turn that cold water into warm water. And then he went there. And then, well, we read about Jesus. He knew what was coming. Didn't he tell the three disciples, why are you guys still sleeping? I just asked you to support me here. Jeez, after all this time, I'm just asking. It's not like I ask you every day for support. This moment. But they couldn't help it because that's the presence of God. Look, there's nothing you guys can do, so take a nap, you know. And then Jesus said, well, the time has come. He's overcome that fear. Because now he's the Son of God. He's living in that presence. That, yeah, if you think saints are not afraid, then you don't really know about sainthood. Because when that fear comes that is beyond their own understanding, they will respond or react. And then the understanding comes like, oh, nothing to be afraid of. There's a saint called Saint Anthony of Comal. He was the first monk that started, you could say, monkhood, you know, the retreat and all of that. He came from a very wealthy family. He's an Egyptian, African Egyptian, you know. He gave the wealth. He made sure that his sister is taken care of. He gave his wealth away and went into the desert where all the people disappeared. Because something is pulling, he needs to know God. And during that time, oh my, yeah, there were various times that things come to him that he's so scared of. He went through this for a year and until finally the day of his realization that he actually passed out. The demons and all of that terrorizing him. He passed out. And then what happens? Then Jesus showed up. And he said, Master, why is it? Well, we were here with you. Because you need to get past here. And this is the same that the bird will bring bread. You know, it doesn't need to go anywhere. And once you've realized that, then you know when other things come, yeah, you might be surprised, like, oh, yeah. But then you know, oh, well, God is in charge. And you surrendered. And then you wait for the wisdom of God to guide you. That's why when each of us face our own personal challenges, that's what it is, to get us above that. Once you've experienced God in that, you say, well, the one who delivered me here is not slumbering. He will also take care of whatever else. Otherwise, those of us won't be able to do this work. Because we never know what's going to show up. Every second, you might think you're going to sleep. You don't know what's coming there to be, you know. So the solution to fear is acknowledging, recognizing that God is present fully with you at all times. Stop going into, oh, I'm a sinner, this, so because of that, God has, yeah, you might not be able to fully feel the presence of God, but God is there. Otherwise, you can't even breathe. You can't move. Once you know that, yeah, let fear shows up. Yeah, it shakes you up. Then you realize, why am I being afraid? Well, Lord, take away my fear. I surrender it to you. You might think just that expression is not working. It's gathering strength as you express that. At a particular point, it has to be released. And that's where you come into your own. And what has been tormenting you ceases. And you can never overcome you again. And that's what they call realization. You realize that all this time, God has always been there for you. Yeah, it is in all spiritual things because humans, because of our limited understanding. People think this earth is just, oh, kumbaya. No. There are terrifying powers that we can't even see that is there. That's how they are set up. And then human consciousness, they try to pull human consciousness, and human consciousness over the years feeds them. Some of the things, they were not open, but human curiosity and ingenuity opens the doors. Well, you open the door to cobras to come, they show up. Even if you close the door, maybe one or two or three has already escaped. Isn't that what happens in the Everglades in Florida when some people brought pythons from Asian pythons and then they take over the place. And humans, we've done that. Because when you see it in spirit, how did this energy come? If you look closely, you find that humans are behind it. Energy that has been kept down, that they're not supposed to operate in on this physical form, is in the other one. People get so angry and upset. They say, oh, this one, see that you are with me, you can't be with anyone else. And they meant it that they were going to take their life. And they will look for anything that allows them to fulfill their yearning. And then they open the Pandora box that they shouldn't. So in spite of all of that, God is in charge. Once you realize that, it doesn't matter. God is capable, is able, and is just like that. The door can be opened and shut, and all the ones that escaped here can be taken back and returned to there and locked up. Go look at the movies. I never saw it. The Jurassic Park and all of that. Yeah. So that's the key to taking care of fear. If it shows up, just know God's presence is there with you. And all you have to do is just ask. But it is the knowing that God is there with you. You are not alone. That fear must subside. Does that answer?
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
A question I've been wondering about. When we are in meditation and we come back to experiencing again, you know, sights and sounds and thoughts and all of that. What is happening spiritually as we come back?
You know, it's part of our limited understanding. Everything flows. There is no demarcation. So when you go deeper into meditation and you experience the presence of God on the other side, your sound and all of that, they are all the same. They are not separated. They are not, what was the word? They are not sectionalized. In other words, you don't take a little here and all of that. So there's always a continuous, there's a bridge, let's put it that way, that is ever open that allows these things to flow in. But the recognition is that you were on the other side. The side we may call the astral world. And all of us, whether you meditate or not, we witness that when we fall asleep. Whether you dream or not, there is, you know, because some we dream, they just can't remember it. So that flow is always there. And so what you bring back where now you are feeling the five senses, you know, is also a continuation of the senses that you have on the other side. Now the other side might be sharper, you know, because then you don't have all the debris of this world holding on to it. And then even while you are, if you go into deeper meditation in some cases, you find that you don't need your ears or your taste bud or any of those. You only have one, just to put it easier way to, you have one senses, you know, it's like you have one probe that does all the five senses instead of the separate, you know. And that's why for souls who have passed on, let's say they desire chocolate, since I know most people like chocolate. The moment they have that thought, it manifests. They don't need to go to any grocery stores, Safeway or Whole Foods. They don't need any of that. They don't need to wonder, oh, it's 90 degrees. If they want 90 degrees weather, it shows up there, right there for them. So that's what the enhancement of the same senses is on the other side, except they are not compartmentalized, they are one. And that's why Jesus said, if your eyes are one, if your eyes become one, you know, you see the intensity of the light. You know, it's not just the eyes he's talking about, it's all the senses coming. They become one, because that's how they operate on the other side. Does that answer the question?
Yes, I think so. That's more clear than I was thinking of it as, more like a junction or a threshold. I like this word bridge much more.
Any other questions? We are grateful to Infinite Spirit who allows this to be possible. May the divine wisdom continue to guide us in every aspect of our life. We are grateful for your infinite blessings, now and forevermore. Amen.